This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dave, for the endorsement there. And you are listening to the Christian War Room. And today we're going to carry on with Robert Laden, part three, and his heaven testimony. If you have missed the first two parts, you can get them at www.christianwarroom.com. Go to the audio sections and look for talk. I'm just looking which ones they are. It's going to be 88 and 87. Talk number 88 and 87 within the audio section, and you can find it there. Now, why the war room? We have got a big problem in this society, and this society is going down the drains very, very quickly and faster. A few weeks ago, I went to to the town where I work, and I was just going for lunch, so I was on the hunt for some burger shop or something. And I saw some advertising, and it was seemingly advertising for a nightclub, and it was, you know, you got scantily dressed women on a long banner, and it was called Sin, you know, S-I-N, Sin. And that was a cool thing people were going for. They were celebrating Sin, and it should attract people to come to the nightclub. One of the shocking things is that it's really blatant. And when you really think what sin is all about, sin is destructive. It destroys your life. It makes you unhappy. It makes you put locks on your home. It makes you to secure your car that nobody can steal it. Sin is when people get beaten to death through violence, when they get murdered, when they get harassed, when they get disadvantaged because somebody else is more greedy. And that is sin. It's everything bad in this world is sin. And ultimately, sin is going to get you into hell, where you've got ultimate suffering. And here's a big problem. People no longer believe in heaven and hell. As a matter of fact, hell is a medieval construct. That's what people believe. Yeah. Or some mythological something. And some people say, oh, I'm living in hell right now, so why should I have hell after I die? But yet a lot of people believe in heaven, and they believe that because they are kind of averagely okay, they're going to go to heaven. Now, here's a message. You're not going to go to heaven because you're a good boy, and hell is real. Hell is real. Jesus, think of him what you want. He accepted hell as being real, and he warned of it more than encouraging people to go to heaven. And we always need to bear this in mind. Jesus Christ made the point that hell is real, therefore hell is real if you accept Jesus Christ. And it's shocking sometimes how many Christians come up with their own little mini religion where they say, oh, you know, if it's such a God of love, you know, how can there be a hell? But my friend, God is not just a God of love, he's a God of righteousness. But he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And he gave him. Yeah, he didn't just send him. He gave him. He gave him up to death so that you don't have to face the reality and the cruelty of death. Very sobering thought. Very sobering thought. Your entry to heaven has been achieved on the back of the suffering God suffered for you in Jesus Christ. Sobering thought. Very sobering thought. That's a way, and that's a way for us to take and to get hold of. And we need to get this message out, and that's really part of the war room activity here. Okay, let's go for it. Robert Laden, this is talk number three.
And he turned to me, Jesus did. And he took both of my little hands in one of his and laid his other one on me. And that's when he called me into the ministry at that moment. He said, I'm going to send you back to earth to preach while they yet call you young. I have placed three goes inside of you. You'll never be happy not going. You must travel, you must journey, you must go. And he said the word go three times go, go, go. And each time he said it, a new degree of fire, warmth, intensity, whatever you want to call it, went inside my little body. And I could feel it. He said a few more things. And he took a step back, and I felt like I was on fire. So the way it felt. It wasn't painful, but it felt like I was on fire. He said, now return. And this is the only time I flew like this. I came up off the ground, went over the gate, and headed back to earth. Very sad moment. If I ever get to go again, I'm not coming back. If you raise me, I'll come back and punch you and take off again. When I flew up over the gate, my angel flew up next to me and introduced itself to me, told me its name, and I'm not going to tell you because then you get weird. But my angel usually stands about right here. I can always feel my angel. I don't have fear of people hurting me. I don't have fear of danger or thing because I got a 6 to 8 foot creature that's right there. And to me, because I've seen my angel, met my angel, and I can sense it, it brings a security to me. I can walk anywhere and it doesn't bother me. You can't touch me. I don't die easy anyway. I'm going to live until the day I'm supposed to die. In the meantime, I have fun. And the angel flew up next to me. I am the one that's been assigned to assist you. And I looked. And the angel said, and I will not leave. I will be there. Whether you see me or not, I'll stand to your right. And that's what he said. He said a few more things about his work. He said, and at times others will come to assist us, but I'm the one that will remain. I shall not leave. I will be with you. Others will come and go, but I'm the remaining one. He called himself the remaining one. I have a remaining one. I think you do too. I don't know where yours stands. My stands over here. Now don't get weird and start trying to feed him. It's amazing when you tell stories like this, how people start doing weird things around you. I had one lady walk up and goes, I'm trying to see your angel. I said, you can't. Angel's as real as you are. And I landed back in my body. Back in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I guess several hours had gone by. I don't know how long I was gone. But it had to be a period of time. It would take a half a day or more to do all that we did, but it wasn't that long in my experience of being absent. My family did not seem to be aware that I was gone, nor did I tell this story until I was about 17 years old, because I didn't want you all to think I was crazy. And even more so than that is it was personal to me. And I was sitting in school, and the Lord said to me at 17, write what I showed you when you were 8. And I have to be honest, I said no. Not trying to be mean or rude, but no. Because I know how people treat people that talk like this. Especially when you're 17 now, and you have body parts, sofas that move, the river of life, and fighting Jesus with the water. All of these things are not Baptist. Dead Pentecostal. New Agers like it, but Christians have a problem with it. Sometimes the other people who are tapping into the spirit world illegally or on the wrong side have more of a relatability to spiritual experiences than we who are born of the Spirit, which is an indictment to our spirituality. Not everything that happens to you in the spirit world was authored by God. There is the counterfeit out there. And you must be careful that you don't embrace the counterfeit and that you embrace the legitimate. The Lord said to me when I wrote the book, two things he told me. He said, one, it'll become the evangelistic arm of your ministry. You are not an evangelist, but it will do the work of an evangelist for you. He said, two, it will forerun many visitations of the next generation. Today in our world of Christianity, there are more people having experiences like this than ever before, because we're getting closer to a moment of a great transition when earth as we know it shall come to an end, and that which has been prepared for us shall come into the clearness of our sight, and we will make a transition, leaving this earth world behind and stepping into a freedom you've not known. One of the worst weights of the world is when I landed back in my body. Boom! And all of a sudden, you were contained and you were weighted. Your spiritual person has no containment like this body has and does not have the restrictions. That's why you'll see in the Bible at times when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a prophet in the Old Testament, he is taken out into the spirit world. He is removed from the restraints and the weights and the heaviness and the sensory control of this physical body to become fully aware of that spiritual world. It is hard sometimes to see a vision, even if you are prophetic, because the glare of your soulish eyes is always trying to dominate your sight. And you have to push through the seeing of the natural into what is being shown to you spiritually. Hearing the voice of God, you have to get through all the earth sounds and the feelings that your body speaks to you to hear the voice of God. And that's why you have to train your spirit to be above the sound of your body's senses and it sounds in this earth to hear distinctly the voice of God. That's why everybody likes to hear how to hear God's voice. It's quite easy. The problem is your sensory voice is so loud and your other visionary things is so strong that you have to penetrate through that to see and hear and do it distinctly so you make sure you hear the right thing. Many people have a mixture of their voice and God's voice. That's why things don't always work as easy, because they assume it's all the Lord and they didn't sometimes go back and review it from Scripture and wait on God to see where maybe your soul spoke a little or another voice interrupted something or you added to it or you're trying to find a description or a interpretation and it messes it up a little bit. Once you've conquered the sensory realm and the outward realm, it's easy for you to hear and to see. And you're not so much overtaken by it as much as you yield to and with the Spirit of the Lord. He'll move upon you and you can feel that he wants to show you something. You can feel his presence or the nudge of the Spirit or the moving inside, and he'll move you one way or the other. And I found those that see a lot wish they didn't. And those that don't see much want to see a lot. Because with everything you see and hear, there comes responsibility for that. More so of intercessory labor than speaking labor. The sights and the sounds of the Spirit are carried more than announced in the earth. Where one spends more time announcing, it draws a question mark to me if they're mature enough in what they're handling, or if what they're seeing and hearing is not something from the Spirit of God, but a mixture of their spirit and God's spirit, or a counterfeit with the voices of people around about them. Does that make sense? Heaven's a real place. Everybody can go that wants to go. But there is something you must do to guarantee your heavenly home. It's not church membership. It's not 4 chapters a day reading your Bible like I was trained growing up. That wouldn't hurt you, though. But it's not a requirement. The only way that a person has a security that when they leave this earth and they go into the afterlife, as we call it on earth, that they go up and not down, because heaven sits at the top of the universe. From underneath its foundation proceeds the universe that we know. The only way that you're guaranteed a heavenly home is through Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I believe that the Holy Bible is God's written word for us today, that it contains the oracle, the announcement of God to mankind. I believe that there is not 4 ways to heaven, but one. It's not through any other person, but that of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God who was sent to this earth to redeem mankind and to restore the fellowship of the Father to man through his own sacrifice for our sins, our judgments, and our shames. He willingly came and spent 33 years of earth life to display the heart of God toward mankind. The Bible contains little small clippets of Jesus' activities on this earth. Enough to let you know that when you hear Jesus talk and you see what he did when he walked this earth is to reveal the heart of God toward man. The angels declared the day that he was born, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. God's will toward us is good. He is not angry at you. He is not coming to get you. He is coming to bless you, coming to heal you, coming to love you, coming to give you an acceptance that you are looking for that no man can give you. We call that in our Christian circles salvation. We call that another term, the born again experience, where one passes from spiritual death unto spiritual life by doing one thing, by putting their hope and their faith, what little you may have is enough, in Jesus Christ and what he did. And by saying with whatever fervor of strength you so desire, I accept Jesus. I accept what he did for me, making his earth life a personal thing to you. That you believe that he is the Son of God. He came to earth. He died on a cross that was not his, but ours. And bore the sin, the judgments, the wrath of God that is due to every one of us. He took in himself on the tree. That if we would just believe him and accept him, everlasting life would come to the one that believes. It does not cost you money. It does not cost you church attendance or Bible reading. Salvation comes by, with sincerity of heart, looking up in the face of Jesus the best way that you know how and saying, I accept you. I want you. Come into my life. Give him the invitation with the words of your mouth to come into your life, your heart, your thinking, your existence. And if you'll open that door, he will come in no matter who you are or what you have or have not done. Salvation is that simple and that easy. Well, you say, Mr. Lairdon, you don't know how bad I've been, and I don't want to know because I can do nothing about it. The only person that can do anything about the things that you have done that you're ashamed of is Jesus. And the best thing I can do for you tonight is to point you to him, to my best friend. In 46 years of my life, he's always been kind to me. He's always been good to me. He's never left me, even in my faults and my mistakes. Even in my angers and my confusions, he's remained true to exactly what he said in the written word and what he spoke to my ears as a little boy. I have no fear of death. Death to me is a graduation moment of life. I have finished my earth walk and I finally get to lay this crappy thing down. Oh, I said the word, sorry. This heavy physical body down. And get rid of all of its restraints, all of its rebellious desires, all of its pulls and yanks that we have to deal with and bring in and control. And I get to have a mind that is not pulled by rejection or flattery or wrong things. I get to have an emotional life that is free to feel and to express and to enjoy once and for all forever. You don't want to miss that. I know some of you have no idea of what that is like, but it's good. And that word sounds so small compared to how good it is. To walk on the golden streets yourself and hear the flowers hum. To walk by the trees when the birds are singing and know what they're saying. To be able to see all the people who have died before you. Your family members. Maybe a cousin, maybe a child that died when he or she was quite small. I didn't see this, but others that have spoken and written about a place where children are in heaven. Those that are aborted, those that have died for whatever reason why they were still a child, they get to go to heaven too. And they're raised in what one of my friends, Robert Hayes, said is the children's part of heaven. I didn't see it, so I don't know, but I do believe it's possible. You saw it? You saw it. And the people and the angels there take care of the kids as they mature and grow and so forth. So if you've had a little child of yours that died when he or she was a baby or a toddler, I know that's painful, but you'll get to see them again. And it'll be a wonderful happening in your life. The most dear person in my life thus far has been my grandmother. I did not know my grandfather. He died when I was a year old. My grandmother died in 2003 at 93 years of age. And she is a lot of the reason why I am the way that I am. Her and my mother. When my grandmother, the last 4 or 5 years of her life, she had dementia or Alzheimer's, you'd understand. She died twice to me. The day she didn't know me anymore while she was still alive was a very, very tough moment in my life. And then she became scared of a male voice. So when I came to visit her, I couldn't even talk or she would get scared of a deep voice. the last 4 years of her life, there was not much communication, not much praying together as we had done since I was a little boy. It was a very, very sad and tough time for myself and my immediate family. But I'll get to see her again. Probably in her 30s. She talked a lot for being 70, 80, and 90, but 30 will never get her quiet.
Yeah, that was Robert Laden. Apologies for breaking it off here. We've got one more talk, and we've just got enough time to stick it in. So it's going to be part four here in the War Room. You can listen to. Again, just to reiterate, it's important to get this story out. We need to let people know that that heaven is real, but also that hell is real, and that is a message we need to just. Reiterate and really push it out there. Time is short, my friends. Time is short. And I don't even know, you know, if when you tune into this talk, whether it's going to be before or after the rapture. That's how short the time is. And if you don't know about this, ask your Christian friends about that. There's a very strong doctrine which in the Bible, which suggests that Jesus is going to come for his own and take them out before the time of the wrath of God is poured out. The great tribulation is poured out upon this earth. So, my friends, make sure you're right with God. It's the most important thing you can do in this world. And I want to encourage you to really go for it. You can do this tonight, you know, where you are. You can do this just in the privacy of your own home. Let me just read a scripture to you, and then I'll close in prayer. And it's Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 13. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is what the Bible says. So I really want to encourage you to not stay behind and to not miss out on this. Call upon the name of the Lord and receive your salvation. Receive your salvation. It's the best thing you can do. I was 16 years old when I made this decision. I made this decision thinking that is the end of the fun part of my life. But I thought to myself, I couldn't do it any other way because I've seen the truth. And if I do not make a decision for Christ at this time, I'm going to be living a lie for the rest of my life. And I heard the call of God upon my life when I was 16 years old. But let me tell you, I gave everything up, but God gave everything back to me. So it's been worthwhile. And I know in heaven there's going to be much more. And that's what we are talking about here. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for heaven and that you have provided a way for us, Lord, that you have done it all. We cannot add to it. We cannot take away from it. But Lord, you have done it all. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to focus our mind on heaven and to work towards heaven whilst we are here on earth and to reach out to a lost generation. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.